San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. And if you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us on your smartphone or other device. We stream live on 760KFMB.com, and all these podcasts can be heard on iymoney.com, commercial-free. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour, who, by the way, is not here tonight because he had to go pick up his daughter at college and bring her home. So he's off for a couple of weeks. But anyway, Richard, as you know, is a CPA extraordinaire and a philanthropist and a best-selling author and an accomplished marathon runner. And we hope he's doing well. And boy, what we had a pretty good week this week. Went to the Padres game, which we'll talk about in a little bit. All right, we are back with Ford Winslow, Chief Risk Officer over at Centrex IT. I know that all sounds very convoluted and diabolical and complicated, but we'll figure that all out. Anyway, Ford, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
This guy's got a great radio voice, too. He's starting to scare me. Anyway, Ford's full disclosure. Actually, I know both these gentlemen. I've known them for a while, so you know, we are friends. But born in Maryland, grew up in Atlanta, then went back to Maryland for University of Maryland for school, correct?
Yes, sir.
And then you left high school early to go off to college, and then you left college early to start your career. And, you know, you followed the Bill Gates path of, you know, what do they call it, the quick track or whatever you call it, express lane to success, I suppose. But maybe you could go through the whole logic and reasoning. I mean, you saw opportunities pop up and say, I got to grab this now. Is that what happened? Or?
Yeah, I was fairly bored with things, and I wouldn't recommend that path to anybody listening, but it's worked out okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just really following my passions.
Well, that's, you know, if you could discover what you want to do early, sooner rather than later, you know, your odds of success probably go up, being the risk officer that you are, right? If you want to assess risk.
Yeah. That's about right. They wouldn't let me near any reactors in high school, so I had to go to some place with a physics program. And then, you know, computer science, we were doing interesting things, but not anything really meaningful at Maryland, so it was time to go run a business. It was fun.
So you jumped out of that. You got into the pizza wars in Washington, D.C., and tell us how that turned out.
Oh, man, that was a lot of fun. There was you might remember some of the Domino's, Pizza Hut, Papa John's advertising wars that were going on and lawsuits that got to the Supreme Court.
Wow, I didn't realize all that.
We were front and center in all of that. And
was it mostly focused in the D.C. market? Is that where?
Yeah.
Wow. What were they suing each other over? It was just stealing
advertising and using each other's brands and implying brands and advertising across things. And like, that sort of was a landmark.
Like criticizing their brand on your commercials and all that.
Absolutely.
That just happened recently in another something. But anyway, well, that's cool. So you you were opening, I guess, ran about 10 restaurants then, right?
Yeah.
How was the Papa John Domino's pizza? I don't even know how it's you know, who's dominating what?
You know, I don't know anymore, but one of the lasting lessons from that was quality, and it was really about, you know, putting a good product and good customer service out on the street, and that's something that stayed with me forever since then and into IT and other things.
I remember Domino's, you had that guaranteed there in 30 minutes, and then they started having car accidents, and then they had to stop that.
That's right.
You know, they're speeding, but interesting. But then you made this quantum leap to Freddie Mac, and you know, how did that? And you're now running the IT for Freddie Mac. I mean, that must have been quite a thing.
Running the IT is maybe a little generous. There was 1,000 IT people there, and we had a huge budget to do amazing things. But
mention Fannie Mae, right?
Yeah, wow. We were a little brother of Fannie Mae.
Yeah.
And, but it exposed me to 100 securities buyers and sellers and really the IT that was required and the big data requirements around that. To create mortgage-backed security products and to auction these off on a global scale and to deal with billions of mortgages.
What year did you start there, just for perspective?
99.
Wow. Okay. So you were there for the upward ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
That was Northern Virginia, the dot bubble, Silicon Valley East at that time. So it's an exciting time to be in technology.
Yeah. Did everyone have a sense, though, that things were just getting out of whack, out of control? I mean, from 99, 2000 up to the bursting of the bubble? And
I can't speak for everyone, but for me, it certainly, there was some just gross displays of money being spent, and it was just, it seemed unsupportable.
Yeah.
It was certainly a bubble that everybody knew something was going to happen.
Yeah. Interesting. And just in a nutshell, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, what is the real distinction between the two, is there any?
Freddie Mac dealt with could not deal with jumbo loans.
Okay.
And there was a multifamily requirement there as well. So there was they were sort of on the smaller end, and Fannie Mae could deal with jumbos.
Gotcha. Okay.
There's a lot more to it than that, but that's my simple explanation.
Good, because we don't want to spend too much time on that. So when 1,000 employees doing IT, that must have been a huge organization. How many total, would you say?
It was only 4,500.
Only?
For D.C., that's not too big.
Yeah, true.
But that was a sign of what the commitment was to technology and how you could make money on technology, that fully almost a quarter of the company was dedicated to IT.
Wow, that's unbelievable. So then you were recruited to head IT for a company called SendGart. It's a San Diego biotech startup.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do? And
we were making colloquially known as a blood substitute.
Okay.
So it was artificial blood, if you will.
All right. Are they still around? Did they get absorbed? Or
no? It was unfortunate. They raised about $350 million, and then now the intellectual property sold off, and hopefully it will be developed, but didn't make it to market, unfortunately.
So they bled to death. Okay.
Yes.
Well, you know, that happens. You know, that's not to be cynical or negative, because you can only succeed if you fail. And, no one knew that more than Thomas Edison and a lot of people, right? I mean, you have to keep trying things in this rapid innovative environment we're in. You know, they're coming and going left and right, and, you know, what hits and what doesn't, and then you just move on. So, so after IT there at SendGart, then you raised $350 million for a small R&D group. What was that all about?
That was SendGart.
Same thing. Okay.
And we, our company, raised $350 million in investor money there.
Oh, right. And then you got into medical devices around hospitals. Is that the same company?
Yeah. My role there really was to chase medical devices around hospitals and research facilities with a laptop and a USB cable trying to harvest data.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's big in the healthcare field today, even, right? Which we're going to, I know it's very relevant to what you're even doing now. So, and then you went over to Europe for clinical trials with all this with the company too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, clinical trials, that's a very, I mean, if folks are looking for a growth industry or something to get into as a college graduate, whatever, that's it's a pretty interesting field. And, there is some capital there, because I know a lot of people are looking for good jobs all the time, right? And then salaries are getting harder and harder to come by, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, this Life Sciences Information Technology Global Institute.
It's a mouthful.
And you were lead author on 6 books. Wow, this is amazing. About 1,000 pages of text, Guidance of Life Science. Wow. So, takes a lot to write a book, right?
That was sort of a passion project, and it really was about we looked around the industry, and nobody really knew how to do IT well for life sciences and heavily regulated companies.
Mm-hmm.
We did a survey as part of that group. We asked 1,000 companies how to do IT correctly, and we got 999 different answers. So we realized there was a need for this, and we were able to collaborate with FDA regulators and industry to really come up with a playbook for how to do trusted information technology in life sciences.
So you cover things like security, infrastructure, the cloud, validation, risk management, all the stuff, training. It's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah.
How many people worked on that with you? Just one book? I mean, those things must have taken months and months, huh?
Yeah, years. I mean, that was about an 8-year project to get all those books written and out. And there was, I don't know, probably 100 people total involved in that project.
So I guess you also became a speaker and a lecturer. You had to go around and kind of establish yourself as an expert in the field. And that's the way to do it, folks. Yep. I mean, you know, you write a book and get out there and, you know, you become an authority in your field. And next thing you know, companies like Centrix will beat a path to your door.
That's it. Say yes to a lot of stuff and good things happen.
And then you co-founded Abnology, which after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, I guess, why you're writing the books.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, you know, so you joined Centrix in 2014, of course, with our good friend, Eric Rockwell, who is with the COO or the president?
CIO and president, yeah.
Okay. Chief Information Officer and your chief result. So how did you discover them or did they discover you?
We knew each other for a long time as competitors in San Diego when with Abnology and Centrix IT, and it just became the right thing for us to join forces and start working together.
Yeah. Well, that company's amazing. I mean, the growth is just incredible. And anyway, let's take our little break. We'll talk more about the birth of Centrix and their amazing growth right after this. Hang on. All right, we are back in the second half of the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, and this is the time where we thank our sponsors. Richard usually does that, but it's my job tonight. So we'd like to thank UBS and Drew Freitas, Michael Caranta for all their great support. UBS helps individuals maintain their high net worth, and Berkeley Research Group. And they are really great in valuation of businesses. And Carl Sheeler, he's a genius. He's been on this show a few times. And he'll be on again. Cost Segregation Initiatives and Joel Grushkin helping improve cash flow to real estate owners all over the country. Polito Epic, one of the great accounting firms up in San Marcos now. They got a great new office. Paul Polito, Don Epic, love those guys. Jason Kruger, Signature Analytics, growing leaps and bounds. I think they have a new office in Denver or someplace. They're just great in terms of consulting you on your businesses, and they are more or less a for-hire CFOs, so you could save money on your startup by getting hold of those guys. The Geiger Law Office, great with improving your estate planning, and we'll have Brenda Geiger on very soon again. And the California Republic Bank and Lane Elliott. Not all, you know, don't put all the lump all the big banks in the same category. These community banks are excellent. And if you need some financial help for your business, Lane Elliott is a good person to get hold of. Lombardi Group is another great sponsor. And Mars Maddox and Associates, formerly Hub International, great in the field of insurance and healthcare in a very complicated field. And then, also, Paul Hines and Ending Elder Abuse Alliance, they're another great sponsor. We'd like to thank them. And Courtney Lover, who does our website and great design work for us. Also, I'd like to thank Gina Champion Kane and the Patio Restaurant Group. She has great locations in Pacific Beach on Lamont and also Goldfinch for hosting us at the Padres game the other night. And these two gentlemen and their guests were also joined us. Unfortunately, the Padres didn't win, but if you get to go see a game like that, everybody's a winner that night. Wouldn't you guys agree on that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Anyway, let's get back to Ford. And where did we last leave off, Ford? We were talking about what? Founding Centrix. So you guys discovered each other. Well, tell us in a nutshell what Centrix does. And you know, there's private cloud computing is your specialty in a nutshell, but...
Yeah, we own and operate a private cloud for highly regulated companies here in San Diego and in Phoenix, and where we host data and do analytics and things like that for clients. And then we are a managed service provider, so that means we're an outsourced IT shop where we augment existing IT organizations to help companies really realize their business goals, so they don't have to worry about keeping track of PCs and computers and making sure their software runs correctly.
And it's probably more economical for them. Not only is a better service, more secure, but more economical. Correct?
Absolutely, a better outcome for them all around.
Yeah, there you go. So obviously, you have it's not that obvious to the listeners out there, but you have a lot of healthcare clients, and you bring a lot of expertise with you to the company, right? Which is why they probably recruited you. But so give us an idea of how many companies that you have right now, and I know you're growing by leaps and bounds, right?
We are. We're on a fast growth pace. We take care of about 65 companies right now, and two thirds of those are healthcare and life sciences companies. So we really focus on those that proportion of the community here in San Diego.
And I understand you guys are pretty selective in whom you choose to work with, right? I mean, not everybody can walk in the front door and say, hey, take over my IT. They have to meet your criteria, huh?
That's right. We take great care in who we work with because we really respect those outcomes. And there's a lot of ways to do IT wrong. Mm-hmm. So we just take great pride in doing it correctly and finding good partners.
Mm-hmm. And I just like to make the distinction because everyone's heard of the cloud, and of course the nightmare a few months ago where people's private information got out into the cyber space, and you guys are into private cloud computing versus public cloud computing, which is much more secure, right?
That's correct. We build clouds specifically for clients' needs to their specifications, secure them based on their regulatory needs and their privacy needs. And then monitor and manage those with the client as partner over the life of the.
So I could imagine any company that's developing IP, or something that needs to be patented, they need to be very, very careful about communications within the company and making sure nothing leaks outside that. I took a tour of the company. I even noticed that all the laptops, you guys keep a very tight control on the laptops that everybody has, right?
Absolutely. That's been one of the biggest breach sources for companies out there in healthcare is a stray laptop with health records on it just being lost. Mm-hmm. So we make sure they're encrypted. We inventory them and treat that very seriously.
And I hope they do too. I think I heard, was it Warren Buffett or somebody? They left a laptop at a conference or something. And it was, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope these people are. there ought to be a kill switch or something. Maybe they're working on this. If it goes missing, that you can remotely destroy everything.
Can do that.
Really?
Absolutely.
We're getting like Mission Impossible here, right?
It's getting pretty sophisticated. Absolutely.
If some employee says, "Hey, my iPad is missing," my laptop's missing, you guys can just blow it up from good. I think that'll save some issues for some companies, I would think.
We hope that becomes the new norm. I mean, really, that's what we need to do to protect intellectual property and protect people's privacy.
Yeah,
it's important stuff.
Yeah, that is amazing. Now, a lot of people should know that people in the IT sphere and in the high tech sphere, they have other talents. I know you were a professional musician, as was Eric before he got into this stuff, and you probably still love music and whatever. But tell us some of your. I know you love golf, music, and cars, but. But you played in bands and symphonies and everything else. I mean, this is quite a remarkable background. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I had early on in my life, I had a career path to choose to go into music or go into science. And I chose science because I like to eat and, reliably. But music is still a passion. And played in lots of little bands and just played in bars and clubs and different things from Washington, D.C. to here in San Diego. For the past 20 years, and I just love it.
But no, you played in the pit orchestras. So, what were some of those shows?
That
just blows me away that we have bands under the stage or orchestras under the stage, and how they sync all the sound with what's going on over their heads.
That was so much fun to play the percussion in the pits. There's maybe a dozen musicians, and you have to cover maybe 30 or 40 different parts. So you're running from one instrument to another and coordinating what's going on at stage with the conductor and everybody. And it's just such a dynamic, fun environment.
There must be TV monitors down there, though, aren't there? So you can see
absolutely.
If you're supposed to clash the cymbal when he drops the cup or whatever, and you miss the timings off, it's not going to work. So
it turns into improv pretty quickly, yeah.
I was at a show at the Globe once, and this remotely controlled thing on wheels was supposed to, go across the stage, and it got stuck and whatever. And the kid or the actor just ad-libbed something, and the audience just went crazy. They just loved the fact that, you just got to go with it, right? And very interesting. So anyway, let's see. What else can we talk about here? I know Centrex is – give us some of the early growth. I mean, it was founded when?
It was founded almost 13 years ago. We begin our 13th year in July, and it was around. It started in the very early days, just fixing computers for companies and doing what we could to help individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have almost 40 employees. We've grown tremendously. We've been one of the fastest growing companies in San Diego for several years, and we hope to to be the fastest small growing small company in San Diego this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's grown leaps and bounds. It's beyond our expectations.
Yeah, it's on a fast track growth path for mm-hmm. sure. Maybe talk a little bit about when we come back from our break. We'll talk a little bit more about the lounge that you guys built, which is a lot of fun, and the craft beer. We'll get Ben back into the discussion a little bit. We'll be right back with Ford Winslow from Centrix IT right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back with Ford Winslow, Chief Risk Officer over at Centrix IT, talking all about the computer industry, private cloud, computing, and all that. I know you recently gave let's talk about the lounge a little bit. I know you guys put in a wonderful, across the parking lot, you put in, and you're right by Chargers Park, by the way, folks, which is kind of a neat location. You put in a lounge. Why did you guys do that? It's a beautiful room. It's got pool tables, ping pong. I guess let people get out there and mm-hmm. blow some steam and get out of the office for a few minutes in the morning and the afternoon, right?
Yeah, we needed to expand. We're growing. We needed some more space for our people. And building a cube farm or a training room or something like that seemed less interesting than building a lounge where we could have some training, we could get together, we could have ad hoc meetings, that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
And really give back to our employees. You know, it is a competitive environment in San Diego for IT talent, and so those are things we have to do to create a great workplace for our people.
Mm-hmm. I noticed you guys all wear shirts and ties, and I like that because I know when the first wave of dot coms came up, you have these young kids in blue jeans and open collars and coming into board meetings, mm-hmm. and it just you guys take your stuff seriously, huh? It's
yeah, we try to bring some real credibility to the art of IT. Mm-hmm. The days of scary talent working on your computer are kind of gone in my mind. We have to bring some professionalism to this mm-hmm. if people are going to trust their technology.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially the field you guys are in. I mean, it's the highest of security for important businesses. And
trust is paramount, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I noticed over there, not only do you have the ping pong tables and pool tables and some nice relaxing tables, tables and chairs to sit at, but you have an employee who makes the craft beer for you guys, right? Sean Ernst.
Yeah, Sean's great. He's a fellow Maryland native, and he's passionate about beer just like the rest
of us. They're making in-house craft beer for their – and you guys have also a break room where you provide, a lot of food items for everybody as well, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
I wish all companies would take better care of that way. But so what's Sean brewing up this time around? Because I know he makes a keg at a time?
Yeah, about 5 gallons at a time of craft beer. And we have a brown going right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure what the next one is. It's either an IPA or there may be a blonde out there. I'm not sure.
Well, whenever you guys are ready to tap that, we'll get Ben over there to sample that and give his opinion on the beer. I saw it in the corner. It was covered. You got to keep it covered or dark or mm-hmm. something for a certain amount of time, right?
That's right. I'm not the expert brewer, but I certainly benefit from the activity.
And so, Ben, when you made the movie, the home brew mart, did you get into any aspects of that? Because are more people brewing at home?
Oh, that's almost where every brewer starts out is home brewing. So
mm-hmm.
As this industry's grown, there's been more and more home brewers. I myself was a home brewer.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm still doing it. It's a long process to see your beer come into something drinkable, but it's fun.
Well, I know you have to have very sterile conditions. Got to be ultra clean, right? It's all about mm-hmm. being clean. I only knew one person who made his beer, and he was just he loved it and giving out his gifts and whatever, and it's kind of cool. So we'll have to get some Centrix IT beer. Get your brand on there, Hans.
We'd love it.
Now, you recently gave a talk on big data down at Lightwave. Or is that the name of the company, Lightwave?
AIS, data centers.
Oh, AIS, I'm sorry. Yep. It's on Lightwave as the street.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some very poignant bullet points in that discussion. Can you tell us a little bit about what you were discussing?
Yeah, the talk was sort of a practical approach to big data and how we might use it really, really immediately and how we could approach these projects. I mean, there's a lot of misunderstanding about it out there, and people really don't know where to start with it. And so we started talking about some of the drivers about why big data is important, because we're generating more data than ever now. It's the storage costs and ability to retain the data is dropping. And there's access to new bandwidth, and then this movement called the Internet of Things is generating just massive amounts of data, and it's going to continue that way.
Mm-hmm.
So big data is the new norm, and thinking about how do we really start taking some economic benefit out of that.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers out there that I've been able to research are that we're going to add $15 trillion to the global GDP in the next 20 years.
That's amazing, because the global GDP right now, I believe, is somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 trillion or just shy of that. So that's pretty significant.
That's that's a 25% increase in the overall GDP. But that's amazing to me.
Yeah, but check my math, folks. I don't know. Google that. From my recollection. But that's amazing. We were talking about a little about this at the break. How are they going to do this? And you say that they're just going to give out devices in order to get data?
The trend in the industry is that the data is worth more than the device that generates it. You're seeing these things like the Fitbit, the Nest thermostat controller, iHealth things that are, you know, your intelligence scale in your house, and these things that are coming down to about $100 or even less. And people are starting to find ways to monetize the data coming off of them.
Huh.
And saying that they're willing to give you a device if you're willing to give them your data, and that's the genesis for all this new GDP that's going to be created.
That's amazing. So there's going to be companies. So it's just harvesting the data and repackaging and using this for what marketing purpose, sales purposes.
One of the emerging sectors is let's call in life sciences. We'll use that as an example. Is digital therapeutics, and that's the idea that for instance, your Fitbit or your Microsoft Band or whatever, you can the data coming off of that. Someone's going to find a way to write a program that will tell you how to live your life better or give you a prescriptive path for health.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that data. And so that a company that doesn't make a medical product, they don't provide any direct care services. It's a software product that's geared towards your health. That's a new sector coming out in life sciences right now called digital therapeutics.
Well, I know our friend Rod Roddenberry, who was a guest on the show, I believe he's one of the funders of the $10 million X Prize that Qualcomm put out there. They were trying to develop a tricorder, which they used to do in the original Star Treks, where they wave this little device in front of your body to try to take medical readings or readings related to health. And now they're actually doing it, or I'm not sure where they are in the process, but... Anyway, just to back up a little bit here, the global GDP in 2012 has been estimated about $73.5 trillion. So I was pretty close. So
pretty close.
It's probably a little bit above that right now. So that's a good guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I am somewhat well-read, but.
So the other interesting fact out of this was so we have about 4.5 billion internet-connected devices today on the planet.
Huh.
In the next 5 years, that number will grow to 40 billion.
Oh my gosh.
That is the Internet of Things, and that's the challenge we face as a data economy and also as a, from security perspective, because these devices need to be secured. They can't be used to if they're not secured, they can be used to launch attacks into your home, into your business, in ways that we haven't thought of yet.
I guess security is the next big growth field as well. It's got to go along with that, right?
Yeah, we've been in IT. We've been saying that this is the year for security for the last 20 years or as long as I've been in IT. And I think actually this year and the next 24 months actually will show some great that'll take hold.
Well, the 40 billion, the growth from 4.5 to 40 billion, where do they see most of that occurring? Asia, Middle East?
The U.S., Europe, all the major economies around the globe.
North America, South America, I guess all of that. Huh? Wow.
In the U.S., it's going to be your smart scale, your smart refrigerator, your Fitbit. Your smart thermostat in your home, everything will become internet enabled.
Well, you did something for the city of San Diego. Tell us about that. I know you did with the lights, right?
Well, that was the city has. We get to collaborate with lots of different folks, including some folks from the city, and they've. We now have a smart grid of streetlights downtown, and many people don't know it, but it's these are internet connected devices that create a grid to create the optimal power consumption for our streetlights.
So did you do that with Sempra or with the city?
I wish I could take credit for it.
Yeah.
this is a project that's done by the city and by Gary Hayslip is one of the guys down there, the chief information security officer for the city, brilliant guy, and really working on the how do we secure that So we can't use our smart light bulbs as an attack point into city systems.
Yeah. The other thing is, I mean, we did have that power outage a few years ago. That was kind of scary. How to secure the grid, because I understand that, you know, that can be a problem, right?
Yeah, we've had some collaborations with Sempra in the city about mocking up these types of attacks and really how do we protect our infrastructure.
I'm suspicious, you know. I can't believe one person caused that much damage, but that's just me. I don't know if we ever got the official word, but anyway, want to thank you, gentlemen, for being on. Ben Moxley, director of KPBS's show Kings of the Craft, premiered last Thursday night, and for the next five Thursdays, get out there and enjoy that. Get over to PBS.org if you want to see the rest of that. Ford Winslow, Centrex IT, Chief Risk Officer, thank you very much for being here. And it was great having you guys at the ballgame the other night. Thanks to Dan Noon, our soundboard operator, for making us sound good. And also thanks to Craig Blanke, our con executive, and to Dave Smith, our programming genius here at KFMB. Richard, you have a safe travels with Demi and getting back here to San Diego from San Jose State. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time on It's Your Money and Your Life. Get over to iMyMoney.com for all the podcasts. Good night now.